Praise the Lord. So I'll pray now. We've already done the USP from before. So Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise, worship, we glorify your holy name. We bless everybody here tonight and the future is going to watch this. We bless them that the anointing flows through to them, saturates every cell and fiber of their being, and they hear of your discernment, and they're able to hear from you and solve every challenge in their life in Jesus' name. We thank you as we go through this system on self-unforgiveness, that they search every place and find every place they have any challenges at all to get rid of it so that you can bless them more in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, some people joined late, so I'd like to do another USP just to make sure that people had time.
Okay.
So we're supposed to do it every 15 minutes anyway. So
that qualifies.
So let's do it again. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
I'm not aware of any sins.
I'm not aware of any sins.
And in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord.
For cleansing me.
For cleansing me.
Of all unrighteousness.
Of all unrighteousness.
According to 1 John 1:9.
1 John 1:9.
And I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
And Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit,
what would you like me to do now?
Would you like me to do now?
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
So if you use your USPs to also do some of your affirmations at that time is really advisable. And you can go right into a mini scenario. Those of you that know how to do that will make your day more productive, especially because the mini scenarios are designed to be an offensive strategy against the enemy so that you can be pushing back the enemy instead of being a spiritual fireman and putting out all the fires that the devil sets. Okay, so when we are learning more about self-unforgiveness and to forgive yourself, it is a form of a spiritual offensive. Like you have a defensive team and an offensive team. And for some of us ladies who don't get that, can you give a brief summary about that as a sports analogy?
Well, let's take baseball. Offense is batting and running the bases. The defense is stopping the batters from running the bases. That's the whole concept. Football. You know, there's a team that tries to prevent somebody from scoring. You know, wars are done the same way. You know, you have an attacking strategy. You have a defending strategy. All these things go into play. It's both. Business is the same way. You try to grow your business. Same time, you try to protect it from losses, from people stealing from you, from things like that. The whole world revolves around both offense and defense in everything we do. You know.
Okay, so. I don't want to always be defending myself from the devil. There comes a time in our life where we just have to kick the butt of the devil. So if you hear me say KTB, that means kick their butts. Get them, you know, off of your bodies, out of your homes, and stop the devil from attacking. Okay. However, we're being recorded, so I have to be careful what I'm saying with semester three healing school graduates. Remember what we said. Don't cast out of anybody. That's their job to do for themselves if they know how. Right? Our job's to take care of us, because you don't want worsers or more challenges coming into their life if they don't know how to handle it. So when you pray for someone, good idea to bind up. Okay. In your own life, if you know what you need to do for personal cleansing, then that's what you do. In our own lives, we have always been taught to forgive others, but we just assumed people were also forgiving themselves because it was like a norm to us. And we do teach that, but maybe not to the degree that we could have been or should have been. And just the Lord brought to me that a lot of people needed that right now. And I was glad to see the response, so that it meant to us that we were on target hearing from the Lord what topic to teach, of what needs that people could receive for themselves, and to minister to your own family, or know how to pray for someone else that you have as a loved one. Maybe that might be an issue that they don't understand. Maybe you're not at a point where you could minister to it, but you could sure intercede, right? Because they need blockages removed from their prayers too. So we're going through a lot of things that will cause blockages to prayer. So here's another unforgiveness challenge that most people don't realize to forgive themselves. So if you can't identify something, how can you deal with it? True? If you don't realize it exists, or something that needs to be worked on. So there are a lot of personality types that are trained since they're young, that if you don't perform well, you aren't valued or aren't good enough. And if you don't get your work done, then you're not good enough. And people feel judged for that. Okay, say the school system. Did you ever have to get a report card? Did your parents ever have to sign that report card? And then everyone's, you know, holding their breath to see what's on the report card. A plus, A minus, B, C, D, F, right? And then people felt like, oh, I'm not a good student if they didn't do well in a subject. And the Lord had to minister to me about that, because in our culture, it's a performance-driven culture, that you are not, and if you're not an achiever and you don't do well, oh, well, then you're not given that importance that you would like to have, or the acknowledgement. And the achievers would get rewards, and the non-achievers would not get any rewards and feel bad. And nobody back then in my childhood was saying, it's okay, you did well on this subject, you just need to learn more about this other subject. But instead of, you know, me receiving that, I felt like I was stupid. I felt like I couldn't do it. And that affected my learning ability. Now, as I went into high school, they had a whole different mindset. They had teachers there that were encouraging and said, oh, see this grade here? I can help you improve that grade. And I'm thinking, you can? Because I thought that was all I could perform. Do you see what I'm saying? It's because the way they taught, it wasn't registering to me how they were teaching. And I'm a visual learner. I like to see it. I like to see how it works. They were auditory and kept just telling me and telling me and telling me. And I couldn't visualize it. So it was hard for me to retain. I also like to do things to take that information and make it kinetic and make it tactile. And if they were teaching a dance, they just said, you know, put your right foot to the right, your other foot out front. I was lost. But if they had the dance instructor in front of us and said, follow me, I followed the dance instructor and I learned the dance really quickly. So it was the way I was learning. Didn't mean I was stupid. It just meant I wasn't connecting to how I was being taught. The devil will lie to each person to say, you can't do it. You'll never be good at that. Or just forget that dream. It's someone else's because you failed at this. Well, I was so encouraged when Pastor James told me about, was it Edison?
Yeah.
How many times did that guy fail?
They say 10,000. We're not sure, but yeah. He took over 10,000 tries to get to the light bulb. Most of you probably heard this, but doesn't matter because he still found the light bulb. He figured out how to make the light bulb work. And he didn't give up. He just learned 10,000 ways it didn't work was his attitude.
I loved hearing that. That ministered to me so much. I mean, can you imagine the tenacity of that guy and the amount of money he had to spend and a bunch of stuff he burned up to figure out that that didn't work? Okay, so that was an encouragement to me. So whatever is a challenge in your life, it just means you haven't learned how to do that yet. Doesn't mean you cannot. And then I had to realize we all have the mind of Christ. So then I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And where I was weak, I asked the Holy Spirit to help make me strong. So I had to learn to forgive myself for feeling inadequate. That might be something that some of you want to write down. Have you ever felt inadequate? Have you ever felt that you weren't good enough? Did someone ever say to you, you're dumb or stupid, or you can't make it, or you'll never amount to anything? Did you believe that? I had to forgive myself for believing some of that stuff that the Lord showed me isn't true, because if God made everything good, then that means you're good, I'm good. And if we have all the mind of Christ and we can do all things through him who strengthens us, that means we can achieve it if someone can learn how to teach us to do it. And you know what? The Holy Spirit knows how you learn best. He knows how I learn best. And he can help us to advance and overcome in those areas of our lives. And I found that where I had a lot of weaknesses in my life, God turned it around and he trained me and he taught me. And I got to the point that he said, now I want you to go help someone else who is in the same boat you used to be. And now you know the school of hard knocks and can help them receive blessings in their life too. So we receive so we could be givers. We receive discipleship so we become disciplers. Go find someone you can disciple. Find someone you can speak into their life and bless them the way that you got blessed. You know, bring them to ABC, let them start learning and growing, and ask God to help you find who is the person he wants you to minister to. And don't overwhelm yourself, but you may be ministering to someone already. Don't be surprised if it's not a family member. Send the right laborers of God to those people, right? Because sometimes we're too close. They've seen all our faults, and maybe they don't get that we've improved, and they didn't, you know how to give us a second chance or third chance or fourth chance or 15th chance or whatever, you know? Okay, but God knows we have grown. And I think that when we start teaching other people what we've learned, we actually start growing more ourselves too. Okay. You know, in James 5, where it says, confess your sins to one to another and pray for each other that you may also receive your healing too. So you will receive what you need when you pray for someone else. You sow, you reap. So that's my paraphrase on that, but basically that's what it means. And so pray one for another, and you'll receive, because you're sowing into someone else's life, you'll reap what you need. So as we're looking at self-unforgiveness and identifying those sins, here's a sin that I want people to be very aware of. If God commands you to do something, then we need to be obedient to that. If you're hearing that God's commanded someone else to do something, then you should pray if that is for you or not, or to what degree. And if you are not told by the Lord to specifically do it that way, then don't beat yourself up if you don't get it done by the time you need to go to sleep. Because the demons will make sure to rob your sleep. And if we sin against our own body by depriving ourselves of sleep because we haven't gotten something done, I've learned through the School of Hard Knocks that the Lord doesn't require us to sacrifice ourselves that way, and that we have to release it and then get enough sleep so that we can take care of our bodies. I had to repent for that. I had to forgive myself for those things.
Well, both of us did.
We both did.
You know, we got into a work mode challenge and trying to do all these things. And
well, we had a timeline on us, set on us, and then we should have had the faith to pray that the timeline would be moved, which we eventually did, but we should have done that first. So we're ministering out of the mistakes we've made to help other people not make those mistakes. If something is keeping me from being on time for work, and I'm, you know, obsessing over, like, say, getting my prayers done, and I don't get out the door on time, that's not good. So if I woke up too late, or I didn't get it done, or I couldn't get it all done in the car, I can do that later, but I should not be late for my work or my appointment. That's a commitment I have. If I have my prayers that I have, I want to get done, and I usually go to bed by a certain time. And if I don't, then I'm not going to be thinking right the next day. I won't be performing well. That's sinning against my body. I need to forgive myself for those sins, and the sin of thinking that I have to feel like I've got to get this done or else. You know, we are in the age of grace. So God wants you to do the best that you can, and don't beat yourself up if you don't meet those requirements. Give yourself grace and mercy and forgive yourself. Then ask the Lord, how can I get this done? And then he'll step you through. It may not be an instantaneous solution. You might have to ramp up to a lifestyle change, or he'll show you other time management things to do, but we need to forgive ourselves of maybe being too hard on ourselves. Okay, so if the Lord says, I need you to get this done today, he will give you the grace to stay up. Because there's some timeline or something that person needs. But it may not be every day or for that person to do on a regular basis or for someone else to emulate. Does that make sense to you? Why do you ask the Holy Spirit, what should I do next? Because he is going to tell you in your daily interval lifestyle what he wants you to do. And in your prayer time, don't overburden yourself with what you think you should do. Do what is a comfortable thing for your routine and to insert into your schedule. Don't set yourself up for failure because you think that you're obligated to do it. Prayer should be a joy, not an obligation. It should not be burdensome. And if it is, that's the devil twisting that. But if the Lord says, I'd like you to get all these prayers done today, and on a regular basis, this is what you should shoot for at that season, then he needs you to do that because it is helping you spiritually. Then he will show you how to do that. And you might have to sacrifice some things, but it won't be where you'll be so tired that you will not be able to function the next day well. So I want you to give yourself enough grace to not go into legalism and to be able to be led by the Holy Spirit, what is best for you. And there's always transition periods to learn some things that are important that God wants you to do in your prayer life or in your personal life to get done or in your work life, because you're trying to juggle all these things at the same time. So who knows how best to juggle those schedules? It's God. So instead of us being spiritual firemen and having a problem and having to pray and put that problem out, then you have another problem. Then you have to pray and put that out. Or you have this emergency, you have to deal with it. This emergency, you have to deal with it. We are stopping that and binding up the enemy and saying, you're not going to be doing that in my life anymore or making my schedule stressed out. Lord, I want a time where we are at peace and getting things done, but having the joy of the Lord doing it and walking in the fruit of the Spirit doing it. So if you feel pressure, anxiety, or stress, or rushing, or like you've got to get it done, and you're not enjoying doing something for the Lord or praying, it's probably the devil putting that pressure. And so then I have to analyze that I need to forgive myself for allowing that to happen. And then I consecrate my time to God and I cast that burden on the Lord. And now I ask him, how should I do it? And now I just love it. It just, even though there's a lot to do, I don't feel like so so obligated, so you know, focused that it worries me that I can't sleep at night. How am I going to get it done? Or I can't think of anything else because of that. That doesn't happen anymore. Now I'm walking in the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, because I need to maintain my body as the temple, make sure I eat right, make sure I drink enough water, make sure I'm exercising, make sure I get enough sleep. Because if I take care of me, then I'll be able to bless someone else. And if I'm challenged to not feel good, how am I going to reach out to someone else, right? And if you have challenges in your life, you are the person you have to minister to. If you have challenges in your life and you're taking care of everybody else and you're not taking care of yourself, that's another sin of self-unforgiveness. Because if I have felt victim to that many, many times. I took care of everybody else, prayed for everybody else. And when I needed prayer, you know, I was like, what do I do, Lord? You know, I needed help. And so I had to realize I wasn't taking care of myself so that I could stay strong. And I was neglecting myself. That's sin of unforgiveness, self-unforgiveness. I had to forgive myself for not taking care of myself. That was a form of self-hatred. Also, self-rejection is we have to forgive ourselves for. It's rejecting help from someone else. Maybe because we just don't have time to train somebody, or you don't want to burden someone else, or you're not used to asking for help, whatever it is. If God wants to bless us and we're always helping someone else, maybe it's time we receive help too. Okay. Self-hatred. That's another sin that we have to forgive ourselves for. Self-hatred can manifest in many ways. One, you don't like looking in the mirror. Two, you don't like your body. Three, you don't like something else about your life or your personality or your character. You always wish you could change something else about yourself or your life, or you wish something never happened to you. That's self-hatred. Well, God wants us to love ourselves so much that it doesn't matter what we look like, because our hearts are still beautiful and we're still working on that, changing and becoming more like Christ Jesus. But I can love myself as I'm doing it. I don't have to hate myself. If I'm not going to sleep early enough to get enough sleep, that's hating myself, because I'm feeling so groggy the next day. I'm depriving myself of something my body needs. If I wait the last minute to do something and stress myself out and put too much on my plate, and I could have rescheduled something for another day, or just if I don't get it done, then say the next day I'll take care of these. And if I don't get that done the next day I'll take care of these. If I'm feeling so overwhelmed and I'm like, okay, why don't I change my lifestyle and declutter my schedule, or minimize, or do some things that will give me some rest time in my day, and take a full Sabbath once a week where you rest, relax, enjoy yourself, spend wonderful time with God, just soaking in his presence. And it's like the cell phone needing to be recharged. If I'm not giving myself enough time to be with the Lord in the morning and be with him at night, and think it's just an obligation of rattling off a bunch of affirmations and USPs, and I don't take time to just fellowship with God as my best friend, as my king, as my counselor, my advisor, share my heart with him, share my praise reports with him, talk to him as my friend. That's a form of self-hatred, because I should love myself enough to go to my Abba Father and have that time with him. So I'm seeing a lot of things in my life that I have to forgive myself for. And you'll see breakthroughs of not feeling pressured, not feeling stressed, not feeling that you don't have this relationship with God that you should, and make time for God. Okay. So on the website, those of you that haven't seen the outline, you can see that. On there, and we're going to look at identifying more sins of self-unforgiveness as I've added to this list. Any regrets or guilt, shame, embarrassment, beating yourself up, would have, should have, could have done something, constantly being reminded of recurring, incessant thoughts of failure, thinking you're a failure, feeling bad that you didn't finish something or didn't follow through until completion, opposing yourself. So here's some, a few examples of opposing yourself: forgetting to set your alarm for an appointment, or being late for work, or impatience to not do something right the first time and needing to spend more time correcting it. Not correcting your mistakes, expecting better results, but still doing the same bad habits, not prioritizing a faith action plan for resolution, calling yourself negative names. I'm so stupid. I could never do that. People are right who say that I should quit. Some of those examples that some of these people may have said over themselves. Self-punishment. Or when you continually get a recurring negative thought of sin you repented of, that usually means you did not forgive yourself completely. Part of the completion of forgiveness for others and yourself is you have forgotten about the offense. You don't even think about it. It doesn't come back up. It's been washed away by the blood of Jesus. Gone. If you have thoughts about something again, there's still a root you're going to have to get rid of and release about yourself and the image you have of yourself. And so tonight, I'd like you to think about any of these things or something else that the Holy Spirit might be showing you that wasn't mentioned that you may need to forgive yourself for. And we're going to pray with you to forgive yourself. Okay? So I'm going to give you a few minutes and pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
I ask you, Holy Spirit.
I ask you, Holy Spirit.
To reveal to me.
To reveal to me.
Any sins.
Any sins.
Of self-unforgiveness.
Of self-unforgiveness.
That I didn't know about.
I didn't know about.
Or realize.
Or realize.
That I need to repent of.
That I need to repent of.
And could you show that to me right now?
Could you show that to me right now?
So I could forgive myself.
So I could forgive myself.
And finally get set free.
Finally get set free.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Okay, so we're just going to be quiet for a little while and see what the Holy Spirit would say. Some of you may want to pray in tongues for a little while and then be quiet. So I'm going to pray in tongues for a little while. Okay, so let's be quiet for a few minutes, and the Holy Spirit, we pray, will speak to your thoughts and reveal to you anything he needs you to see.
Okay, so a real quick comment. Wolfgang Puck once said, I learned more from the failure of my first restaurant than I did for the success of my next 10. So any challenge you've got, use it as a learning experience to make things better.
Because what happened with the first restaurant?
He failed. He failed his first restaurant, went bankrupt. But you're learning all the mistakes he made there, of course, he was a big success later on. Okay. So it's something to keep in mind. Okay. So let's repeat this prayer together. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I forgive anyone.
I forgive anyone.
Who has offended me.
Who has offended me.
In any way.
In any way.
Shape or form.
Shape or form.
Knowingly or unknowingly.
Knowingly or unknowingly.
By omission.
By omission.
Or commission.
Or commission.
And every person.
And every person.
Who has participated.
Who has participated.
In any. Of my sins.
Of my sins.
Or cause me. To sin. Or have been affected. By sins.
In the name of Jesus.
I forgive myself. And anyone else. From my heart.
Of the sins. Now you mentioned whatever they are. Of self-unforgiveness.
Self-unforgiveness.
Especially these ones. Okay, so speak those out.
All right, so in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I receive forgiveness. And I bless. Myself. To walk in love. Joy, peace. Patience, forgiveness. And not become. Offended anymore. Amen. Okay. So now.
We're going to affirm. I love me with the love of the Lord. I love me.
With the love of the Lord.
I can see in me the glory of my King. And I love me with the love of the Lord. Now let's do that again. I love me with the love of the Lord. I love me with the love of the Lord. I can see in me The glory of my King. And I love me.
With the love of the Lord.
Amen. Okay, so you should be able to unmute yourselves. And has this been helping anybody? Anybody want to share?
Yes.
Okay, Frida?
I just, some of these things of blaming, if I didn't get something done, I was frustrated with myself and let it affect me physically. You know?
Very good point.
Yeah. Very good point. Anybody else want to share? Denise? Yeah.
Mine was... Forgiven myself. I know we had prayed about it before, but forgiven myself of my past mistakes and my failures, because instead of taking it as a lesson learned and to move on from it, I just continue to rewind it. The video, as you said, in my mind, and I know that is the enemy.
Right. So now you know the symptoms. Yeah. When you have those thoughts come, to treat it as sin, repent of it right away, and do your confession of your sinds, and bind that enemy up. Okay, so that will really help you there.
Always remember, When you confess and repent of your sin, God puts in a seal of forgetfulness. He chooses to remember it no more. Therefore, to act like God, we should choose to remember it no more.
Right. There isn't really a sea of forgetfulness, but it's an analogy that it's washed away by the blood of Jesus and it went somewhere. Okay. And when it's away, it's gone. Away from us. Okay. Anybody else want to share if this has blessed you? Are you feeling better about yourself after forgiving yourself?
Yes.
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 Are you seeing some breakthroughs physically, emotionally in your own lives?
Yes.
Okay, very good. I know it's resulted in some people actually receiving incredible healings, and three people reported that I after they had what they had in common was they forgave themselves of a lot of things last Wednesday night. Thursday morning at 6:33, Jesus came to their homes. It was glorious. Jesus has no favorites. He wants to do the same for each of you. Okay? Just spend time with him. Let him do that. If you don't have time at 6:33 because you have to be at work, you have a day off. Look forward for your next day off to spend some more time with God. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah. So there's some exciting things happening and breakthroughs happening in everybody's life. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit to show each of you something special that happened tonight in your own life, and that he will show you that, because each of you are very special to God and special to us, and we love you. Amen.
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 Communion.
Do communion. All right, let's all do a USP again. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
I'm not aware of any sins.
I'm not aware of any sins.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for cleansing me. Of all unrighteousness. According to 1 John 1:9.
According to 1 John 1:9.
The bread, please.
Thank you, Lord, that we take this bread and we take your body, Lord God, in remembrance of you. Thank you for what you did for us at Calvary. And you broke that bread and you said, take, eat, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. And as we take this bread and this body, we thank you, Lord, that you have made us whole and that you have healed any brokenness in our hearts and any images in our mind that the devil tried to destroy through self-unforgiveness, and you made us whole.
Yes.
And we thank you, Lord. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Receive in Jesus' name.
As he took this cup of wine, he said, this is my blood. This is the blood that washes us clean of every sin. This is the blood. As we take this, we need to remember that and receive our total forgiveness and not let it bother us anymore. But Jesus, we take this blood in remembrance of you and thank you for forgiving us of our sins and washing us white as snow.
In Jesus' name, we agree and receive. We heal the stripes of Jesus.
Yes, you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
And Lord, I pray not only have you healed people's bodies tonight in this communion, but you have also healed their souls of past wounds and hurts and abuses, and healed their hearts, the emotional heart, of any disappointments or regrets or mistakes or errors or failures or any self-unforgiveness in any way, shape, or form. And I thank you, Lord, for that healing anointing being poured out right now to each person. right now, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, for their loving, forgiving people. The devil has no legal right to any of them. And now they're free to receive every blessing from you being poured out into them, blessings running to overtake each of them as their tithers. And Jehovah Sabaoth has rebuked the devourer of self-unforgiveness, self-hatred, self-rejection. Self-neglect, self-esteem challenges, unworthiness, failure. Thank you, Lord, that you see them as ambassadors of God in Christ Jesus, equipped and beautiful, courageous, confident, being able to do all things through Christ who strengthens each one of them. Thank you, Lord, for that freedom of being who you always saw them to be. And now nothing that they imagine to do will be withheld from them. Thank you, Lord God. They're aligned with you. And I thank you, Lord, that they are positioned now as the victors with victories, more than conquerors and overcomers in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, well, we're going to stop the recording. Yeah, go ahead.
So I was the Azusa Street Revival, and it was a documentary, Jack Hayford, Marilyn Hickey, a lot of pastors were in it, and it talked about how the guy who started Azusa Street Revival, how he never took offense when people will come in and try to ridicule him for speaking in tongues and for what they were doing with the movement of the Holy Spirit. How and there's people that purposely tried to discourage him, and they were just so astonished that he never took offense. And then the scripture came up, and this is what they thought about him, that he truly lived this, that great peace have they who love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Psalm 119:165. That he loved God's word. I mean, now the law is to love God and love people. So I guess you could say that he loved love. He loved God. He loved people, and he, nothing offended him.
I love that.
Yeah, and so it really spoke to me the last couple of days. So if something tried to challenge to offend me, I just remembered how much I love God and I love his word, and it just went off me like water off a duck's back for the first time in my life.
Great scripture. Let's start confirming that. That's a good one. Thanks for sharing.
You're welcome.
Stop recording.